Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, I'm trying to think of what I've watched recently. Oh, now that HBO Max is just Max, we have the Discovery editions. And I started watching the House of Hammer, the Army Hammer documentary. Because I'd been wanting to watch that, and then I wasn't going to get Discovery Plus. So now that it's on there, I started it, and it's pretty wild.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I'm also curious.
It's hard because the first episode was really about Army and his, like recent relationships. And then now it's getting into how, like, his family all had that, like, sort of history, which is interesting. But it's like, I don't know these people. I don't really care.
You're right, like, who are these?
And it's like, yeah, obviously, like, that affected Army. But I don't know. Now I know what he did, and that's kind of enough. Oh. So I don't know if I'm going to finish it. I get very, you know, distracted by all these docuseries because once I know the information, I'm like, okay, great. Know it.
I've done enough.
Yeah. So I just started, this other one, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace.
Ooh.
Oh, it rhymes. Now that I'm saying it out loud. And have you ever heard of this case?
No.
Okay. So it's this young girl from Ukraine. She has dwarfism and she was adopted by this family who like had everything.
Okay.
And then basically she like got her period. She's like supposed to be like 6 years old. She had pubic hair and stuff like that. And they basically realized that she was an adult who had dwarfism, who was like pretending to be a child.
Whoa.
At least that's my understanding. Then like the adopted parents like go to jail. I don't know what they did to her. I don't know. It's this whole thing. And I have been fascinated by this case for years.
Oh, I'm so curious.
Yeah. I've always been really interested. So now I'm so excited that there's like actually a series about it. And I just started it today. So I'm very excited.
I do love a good docuseries.
Yeah.
I mean, mine that I've been fascinated by for a very long time, which is also on HBO Max, now Max, is The Vow, which is two seasons about Nexium.
Yes.
I've also gotten distracted and watching other things because literally every TV show I have ever loved ended within the past month.
Did you watch Ted Lasso?
I haven't finished Ted Lasso yet.
I literally watched one episode, so I have nothing to say about it, unfortunately.
I love Ted Lasso. But what I did finish was The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I haven't finished it. I'm like savoring it.
I know. And finally, yesterday I had the day to myself pretty much and I wanted to stay inside. So I was like, you know what? Let me just sit and finish. And I watched like 5 episodes and just sobbed and it was lovely. So I finished Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and I finished Barry.
Okay, yeah.
Which
has everything is
been
ending.
Another one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. But speaking of, also back to the docuseries thing, I'm all over the place today. What just came out is Shiny Happy People on Amazon Prime, which is about the Duggars.
That just came out? Oh my God, yes. I need to see that. I've been seeing it on TikTok.
And oh my gosh, I was really a TLC girly.
Me too.
Growing up.
Yes. Kate Plus Eight.
Which is John and Kate Plus Eight. And then Kate Plus Eight. That was one of my favorite shows. I loved the Duggars. I loved Say Yes to the Dress, which is ironic because that's where I work now, which I never imagined in my life. I remember when all the news was coming out about like the oldest son being like a pedophile and a sexual abuser. I was like, hey, is this real? Like, that's crazy. And I think I was like still a little on the younger, more naive side of being a teenager that was like, well, maybe this is just like bad publicity or something.
Right.
Like, it kind of broke my heart. But now as an older, wiser adult, I was like, no, that all happened and is all real. And one of the daughters and her husband are a big part of the docuseries.
Oh, good.
And the crazy cousin, Amy.
Okay.
Do you remember her?
No.
When she was on the show, she was like she was raised totally normally.
Oh, okay. I feel like she's the one that would come in. Normal people coming.
And she got like baptized by Jim Bob in a river on one episode when she was a teenager. She's on it, and some of their other like close family friends and stuff. And it's this whole thing about like their sector of Christianity they belong to is like the Institute of Basic Life Principles. And it's like their platform of having a show was to like get their messaging across to the world and then bring it to Congress and stuff. And it's so crazy. I've only seen the first episode and I am absolutely riveted. Once I finish all of my tasks for the evening, I'm going to like sit up and watch till I fall asleep because
I think I'm going to as well.
Oh, I love, I'm not like a true crime person per se. I don't really like NCIS Law and Order, all that stuff, but like a good kind of like documentary show or movie, something based in reality that's like scandalous or dramatic to say the least, I find really interesting, which is why I was super intrigued by what we're talking about today.
Yes, yeah. Reality, which is also on Max, which is written and directed by Tina Sater. And it was also written by James Paul Dallas.
And is starring Sydney Sweeney as Reality. I mean, can you imagine, first of all, going
Reality winner?
Yeah. Can you imagine going through your life as Reality winner?
Yeah, when I saw that it was called Reality, I didn't know what this was. And also, it's based on the book Is This a Room? Which
is, but then it's also based on the actual audio file that from the FBI when this girl's house was raided.
Yeah, which you can so tell because there's lot of moments in there that it's like, this just wouldn't be written in. But you can tell it's like,
They took it word for word.
Yes, yes.
It's crazy.
But I like thought that reality was like, what is reality? Like,
yeah.
I thought it was like that sort of thing. And I was like, oh no, that is her name. I was excited to watch this because I wanted to see Sydney Sweeney not just as a hot girl and not just see her boobs on Euphoria.
Yeah.
And give her a chance. So I was excited to see her take on this sort of, you know, what we've seen with Anna Delvey or Inventing Anna. And what was the one with Amanda Seyfried?
Oh, The Dropout.
Yeah, The Dropout. I feel like this is like,
it's very much in line with that. Also, All Blondes.
Yes, yes.
Blondes are the only criminals. You heard it here first.
Yeah,
according to being popular media.
And yeah, I was just interested to see it. I hadn't heard like anything about it.
The only thing I had heard about it was this is Sydney Sweeney's best acting role to date. Mm-hmm. Like people are calling it like a breakout for her, which I think is funny because I think she's been broken out for a long time. I mean, this is the first thing she's really starring in.
Yes, yeah. And it's a movie. And
I think it's a film.
Once
which
you branch off into films, it's like, oh, you're not just a TV. Which I think now is muddy waters because TV is so good.
Exactly.
But before, yeah, I was like, oh, you're a movie star. I don't know. I honestly thought like her strongest moment in this would maybe be like her weakest in Euphoria. Like she does have this like breakdown moment right before they start talking. I mean, they're talking about the pets. Oh my God, all the freaking time. Take a shot every time they're like, is the cat under the bed? I'm like, shut up. Like, I get, but also it's like,
I only care about my dog right now.
Right.
I care about my dog.
Literally the transcription. And then she's like, I just need my phone for my yoga class tomorrow. Oh my God. It just felt very repetitive, but like, I don't want to shame it for what it is as a script because that's just the transcription. But also, I don't know. I mean, this is a hot take. I don't really know, but like, I don't think I needed this to be a movie by any means. Given that it was just the transcription and it was one place, like this would have been better as a play for me.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I still think that I would be bored. But I think like what it is and just this like sort of one house and then outside and that sort of thing. Like, if you're going to make it so, the word isn't solitude, but it's like, if you are going to make it that, then why is it in this grand format? And like, I don't want to be like movies have to like
the singularity.
Yeah. Of. Yeah. And like movies don't have to, you know, bring us place to place to place, but the art form does allow for that. Right. And it just felt very one tone of like, this is a film about this one conversation. And the conversation itself is pretty repetitive. And I don't know, a lot of it felt like, I'm confused. Why are you doing this? Oh, the papers. No, I didn't take the papers. Yes, you did take the papers. Oh, shit. Okay, I have to go to the FBI. Like, for an hour and a half. Thank God it wasn't any longer. I'm not saying it was, like, yes. bad, but, like...
Hour 22 minutes. It was actually shorter. I think an hour and a half would have been too long.
Too long, yeah.
I don't know. I think... I mean, it truly, my Letterboxd review of this kind of encapsulates how I feel... is that I don't, I genuinely don't know how I feel about this movie. Like, if someone said, oh, did you like it? I'm like, I don't really know. Because, I mean, here's my thing. It has some really redeeming qualities in the concept. Yeah. I think it's a great concept. Yeah. It's like the first of its kind. Whoever would think to take a police transcript of an audio file and turn it into a movie word for word. That's pretty exciting and a little revolutionary. It's a little new and spicy. And also the way in which they incorporate, I'm not saying if I know that I like these things, I think these are interesting things about the movie that make it worth seeing. Like the cutaways to the audio file. You see the wave. And it's like, oh, that's right. This
I did actually like that.
Really happened. Yeah. And then it would cut away to the real girl's Instagram.
Right.
Which I also thought was fascinating. It was like, where were you on May 9th? And it cuts to her Instagram profile of the video of her deadlifting in the gym. And I was like, whoa, that's very interesting. And I've never, while a procedural criminal, you know, docuseries, television show, movie, whatever, they all have the same format pretty much, and we know it's gonna end with her in custody. This somehow felt really fresh and different, which I found exciting, but I genuinely can't say if I liked it or not. I have no idea. I'm really confused, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think I did. Like, I'm not that likability is like rewatchability, but I don't think I'd ever rewatch it. I think I like what it could have been.
Maybe that's it too. There's a lot of,
or not even like what this film could have been, because it's like, it is what it is. The transcription is what it is. And I think they did a good job with that, but I think, I don't know, it needs a more exciting story. I think like, obviously these things take time to develop. This happened in 2017. Like, I'm not asking for them to use a case that happened yesterday, but I'm trying to forget about the Donald Trump stuff. Like, let's just push it to the side. And like, I don't know, maybe it's also like my timing. Like, I don't remember this happening. I don't know if it was like super national news, but I don't really remember this specific thing. Like, I feel like there were a bunch of like,
there were a lot of emails
leaked and like all this stuff. So this was kind of a blur to me. Like, I'm sure I did hear about it in passing or something, but I don't know. It just didn't really ring a bell. I don't know if reading the transcription itself, I would be like fascinated by that. So naturally I'm not super fascinated by the movie. I think a different transcription, maybe of a different case, would be more suited for a film. But I think that this could have been a... I don't know why I'm always determined to find, like, other mediums for stories. I'm always like, this should be a play. No, this should be a book. That should be a drama series. This is a book. Maybe it should have stayed...
Exactly.
Maybe it should have stayed a book. I didn't read the book. Isn't there a play? Is this a room? Why have I heard of this?
I don't know.
I feel like that just like, that sounds familiar. Maybe I do know the book. Maybe I read it. I know I definitely did not read it.
We're speculating.
I'm like, did I? No, I definitely didn't read the book. I don't know. What else has Tina Sater done? Like, what is she doing? Because, well, she's only directed this and she
Seth Meyers.
Was on Seth Meyers. So that's helpful, Tina. No, good for her. She made a female-driven story written and directed by her, and it's being distributed on Max. And it's also, like, one of the first films to be... I mean, it says HBO original, but, like, this is, like, one of the first films that's, like,
released Max. As Max.
Yeah, and I feel like we're kind of in this, I don't want to say, like, new frontier, but I think, like, we're trying to figure out, like, what is Max? What's it going to have on there?
Right, what's our rebrand?
Yeah.
What's the content
liked it before because it was, like, okay, it's not Hulu or Netflix where I was so overwhelmed with what to watch. It felt so curated because I knew HBO Max.
Right.
Had, like, exactly. Put it together. Like, I knew what I found on there was going to be good.
Exactly.
It's like my safety net.
Yes. You come home and you say, oh, geez, you know, I would like to watch some quality television, or I would like to watch a Harry Potter film or something. You know, I want to watch something that is, you know, a little boundary pushing. And I suppose that's still kind of the way in which they're rebranding.
Mm-hmm.
But now that also includes, like, Chip and Joanna Gaines and the whole Magnolia Network. And,
right. Oh,
and Aquaman. Because Jason Momoa is on, like, every commercial I see now.
Yeah.
It has become more like Hulu.
Uh-huh.
And this, honestly, I was sitting and watching it and I was kind of thinking, you know, if it weren't such a concept piece, which I think is what to call this movie, it's a concept piece. It's boundary breaking, you know, pushing the limits of what can be a screenplay and the kinds of movies we want to watch. But I was sitting and watching it and I was like, you know, if this didn't have that unique twist on it, I would totally believe this was, like, a Hulu original or
not
honestly a Lifetime movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was giving Lifetime energy.
And that's hard because it's like, I mean, not to be like, the stars are what make the movie. No. But if it wasn't Sydney Sweeney at the face of this, I would have never watched it.
Yep.
I would have never. And I think that's why they put her in this. And I understand
why.
She also
looks like the real girl.
Yeah, she does. And I think,
more than any other Hollywood actress right now, I would say.
Right. And I think it was smart of her and her team to do this project because it does take her out of that persona or type that she's been kind of plugged into.
No, it's true. Because honestly, within the first couple minutes of the movie when she's driving in the car, I'm sitting there and I'm going, how can I suspend my belief that she's not a high schooler?
Right.
Because she still
is
so imprinted in my mind, and I'm sure in the minds of people internationally, that while she doesn't necessarily look like a high schooler, and you see her on red carpets and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lady.
Yeah.
When she's acting, I just see a high schooler.
Right.
But
this,
I think, definitely helped break her out of that stereotype, that typecast.
Yeah. I think this is maybe not the most memorable film, but it might help her get further in her, I don't want to say further in her career. She's perfectly fine.
Branch out. Diversify.
Rebrand. Diversify, yeah. And, you know, maybe this will bring something different to these sort of true story, crime-based, I don't want to say, like, criminal movies, but, yeah, kind of this trend that we've been seeing.
An artsy take on it.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see more of this. You know, I've seen a lot of movies where they bring in the court documents or, you know, they type that out on the screen or whatever, and they try and, like, base it back into reality. But knowing, like, oh, this is everything that was said and it's being said again.
It's so cool. And some of the information still had to be redacted.
Yes, yeah.
From the movie, which I also thought was crazy. Again, I don't know if I liked it or not, but it was something I'd never seen before. It was fresh.
Right.
And I think for the artistic community as a whole, that is exciting.
I agree. And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram @TheCinemaChicks and on TikTok @CinemaChicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at HJoha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
The NSA.
Female writer and directors, obviously.
And the cat under the bed. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.